Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the deal. 8, 7 o'clock.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know?
Best way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good evening, Atlanta. 92.9 The Game here. It is Abe Gordon rocking with you for the full 3 hours tonight here on 92.9 The Game tonight, and quite a bit to get to. A couple things I maybe didn't expect to talk about today. Certainly, you know, I was hosting the Abe TL show yesterday. I had an idea of what I was going to break down. Certainly a lot of Falcons discussion coming your way, but a couple things from the Braves, a couple things from the Falcons that maybe weren't necessarily in the plans, but here we go on a Monday night. Welcome in. Thank you for joining me. Got an interesting show, a packed show for you today, because I've got two shows left before the NFL draft, right? This one and then a show tomorrow night. And I've got all these Falcons draft topics that I gotta get to. Like, I worked ahead. I tried to save them up. And then now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I only got 6 hours. I got two shows. And if I'm going to take some calls and get some of your thoughts and tweets, I got to start rattling these things off. But before we do that, because we are going to get to one of them at 7:40, Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, NFL draft analyst, is going to join me in just about 18 minutes. He is an outstanding analyst. He has seen so many of the guys that have been tied to the Atlanta Falcons, whether for good or for bad, one way or another. We're going to talk to him about what he's seen from them while at the Senior Bowl. Pretty much everyone, with the exception of one guy, and we're going to ask him about that guy anyway. So we got that for you. PM Power Ranks at 8:40. Two really good topics from Oren. Excited about this one. Athletes I would like to have partied with. And top five brands of flavored booze. So you're going to want to stick around at 8:40, get some reaction to that one. And then we'll certainly do outside the perimeter. We got some NBA playoff thoughts, and we'll go down the line from there. So there's a couple pieces of news that are really interesting to me that I didn't necessarily have a full spot in the show for. I think we'll get to the Braves one first, because the game is going to be starting shortly, and we'll be keeping an eye on the game. I'll certainly be giving you updates as we work our way through that. Here, but Bryce Elder is finally getting called up, and he is getting the start today. And so they're maneuvering a little bit with the rotation, giving a couple guys an extra day of rest here. Ronaldo Lopez, I think that's most notable for. But certainly we have the questions about Chris Sale too. It's not bad necessarily to get him a little blow here. Charlie Morton's older as well, so it makes sense. And now the question is that Elder gets called into the rotation. Can he hold on to it? Can he hold on to it? We got Winans for two starts, or excuse me, one start. We got Darius Vines for two starts. I mean, I don't want to make it a trend, but like Bryce Elder better be here for more than three starts. Or if that's the case, then maybe it's Jared Schuster for four starts and then Hurston Waldrop for five. Is that, and then Ian Anderson the rest of the way. Is that the game we're playing? That's a pattern. That's a pattern. But we would all like to see a good, strong start from Bryce Elder today, kind of give us a little bit more than what we've been getting out of that final spot of the rotation. So certainly we are looking forward to that. And I got some good news as well about Ozzie Albies. Isn't going to be returning in this series, but might be back relatively shortly, possibly to start the weekend series. So we're going to keep an eye on that one. But couple things going on with the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan, we're going to get to that in just one moment. But before we do that, this Kirk Cousins tampering thing has gotten pretty out of control. And it's really frustrating for me because there was no intent to do damage. This whole thing is essentially a miscommunication. And, you know, if the NFL comes down on the Falcons beyond a certain point, going to be really, really frustrating. If you want to take a fourth or fifth rounder this year or next year, whenever the case may be, I understand it. I don't think we could go out here willy-nilly be taking second rounders. I think you have to have a little bit of context to what the tampering was in regards to Kirk Cousins speaking with a athletic trainer for the Falcons, as he acknowledged in his own introductory press conference. Now, the other aspect of this, which I don't have a ton of info on, is Kirk Cousins and his communication with Darnell Mooney. That one, if they come out and say, look, this is what happened, we can't be having this, that one may actually be a little more severe in my eyes. But as far as I understand, the communication between Cousins and an athletic trainer really had nothing to do with tampering. It had nothing to do with the Vikings losing him. It didn't change anything. Anything. The deal was pretty much spoken about. It hadn't been public knowledge yet. And so we go from there. It did not change any aspect of the Atlanta Falcons ending up with Kirk Cousins. It didn't. But we'll see what the penalty is and go from there. But interested to see how they phrase whatever their punishment is. And I agree with Dukes and Bell. You're 3 days from the draft now, by the time they would put out any sort of press release. I don't know if you can do it this year. I don't think that's fair. You have to work your way into plans for the Atlanta Falcons, how you want to approach this draft. I think getting your leg caught off this soon or close to the draft, it would be quite unfair from the NFL. But we'll see how they end up playing it out. The other big story today, and we knew this was happening, and it wasn't a surprise, but it does seem like it's hit the city of Atlanta a little bit more than I thought it would, and that's the announcement that Matt Ryan is going to officially retire. And, you know, there was the rumors a couple weeks ago, and no one's surprised. He obviously didn't get picked up. He did outstanding in the broadcast booth. We're not surprised, but now we're here today, and everyone's kind of getting this recall of some of the moments that Matt Ryan had here in Atlanta. You know, he had a press conference today. Arthur Blank was there involved with it as well. And Matt Ryan, a couple of quotes and comments from what went down earlier today. Matt Ryan was speaking and pretty much wanted to just give his support and appreciation for the fans that stuck through him.
I want to say thank you. You know, I think for the 14 years that I was the quarterback here, I felt the passion and the energy all the time. And it wasn't all smooth sailing. You know, there were ups and downs, and I'm sure lots of frustration and lots of, you know, enjoyable times as well. But I never took it lightly. You know, I kind of understood the position and the responsibility, you know, that I had, and I tried to do it as best as I could.
You could hear a little wavering, a little lip quiver on that one. I commend Matt Ryan. I would never be able to get through a speech like this without starting to shed tears. Like, I'm sensitive and emotional. There's no way I'd be able to get through a retirement speech without that. I mean, I started tearing up when I told a former boss that I was leaving. I was like, I'm sorry, man. I got to get out of here. I got a new job. I'm sorry. So kudos to Matt Ryan for holding it together. He also talked about kind of the next stage for him and stepping away from the football field in terms of a player. Maybe he's obviously going to stick with the broadcast, but what it means for him to continue developing as a human.
I'm not sure you're ever like truly, you know, give in to the fact that you're no longer a player, right? Like, I don't know if that part ever kind of leaves you. Yeah, but the year in Indy was tough. And so on my family, you know, Sarah was pregnant with Cal. And it, for me, you know, it was the time in life and the time for us as a family that, you know what, my guys were starting school. Things, there were other things outside of just myself that were important to me. And so I think that was probably the the driving force for me saying, all right, let's explore, you know, what other avenues are out there. And I got to do it, you know, selfishly, I got to do it for a long time. And like I mentioned, you know, Sarah took so much off of that, but at some point, you know, marriage is a team, and, you know, you've got to play your role. And so I think that's what kind of gives me peace, you know, with all of it is I think, you know, moving away and kind of finding other things to do is better for where we're at right now.
Well, there you have it from Matt Ryan talking about the next step and stage for him as a dad, as a husband, you know, moving away from the playing surface, but probably going to be, yeah, look, I imagine we're still going to see him, whether it be on TV as a broadcaster or even in the stands here at the Benz. I imagine he's still going to be involved very, very heavily in football. And I want to say this. I know we're kind of – Dukes and Bell had their comments about what would you say to Matt Ryan. And for me, it's less about what I would say to him and more about what I would say to the fans and listeners about him. And to me, when I look at Matt Ryan, I just hope that so many of you don't let how it ended, whether that be the Super Bowl itself or his time here in Atlanta, blur what he meant to the Atlanta Falcons. And look, everyone has their preferences of the type of football, the type of quarterback they want. We're not going to get into that. But let's not diminish what he was here for the Atlanta Falcons and the stability he provided. Do we wish things had ended a little differently here and there? Absolutely. No one can take that away from him or from the fans who wanted it, you know, to work out with a different final story. But don't let the fact that he asked out near the end because of other circumstances, don't let the fact that they couldn't close the door on the Super Bowl, you can't go holding a grudge. And that's kind of what it feels like to me. It feels like Falcons fans hold that grudge over Matt Ryan because they didn't get that final glory in the Super Bowl. And it's just not worth it, man. Like, he was one of the most important players in this franchise history. He did everything right on and off the field in this city. And he is a guy, and I think we're seeing it more and more today, that should be celebrated across Atlanta, should be celebrated by the Falcons organization, and should be celebrated by Falcons fans. Is there a difference in maybe how that celebration would feel if you did have a ring? Understandably, absolutely. No one's going to deny that. No one's trying to take that away from us. But this is a guy that shaped this organization as much as anyone. And so on behalf of the city of Atlanta here, if you're listening, probably stuck in traffic on your way home from your own press conference, maybe headed to the Braves game, who knows. But thank you, Matt Ryan, for what you've given to us as a fan base and what you gave to the franchise of the Atlanta Falcons. And hopefully we get to see you and celebrate you in Canton in a couple of years. We'll do our best to kind of sway the narrative in terms of getting you into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All right, when we come back, more Falcons talk. Going to continue the discussion towards the draft. Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl NFL Draft Analyst, is going to join me. Going to chat with him about all of the names that you're interested to hear about, because most of them he's seen firsthand for an entire week. That's coming on the other side. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios. Follow me on Twitter at Abe Gordon. Jim Nagy joins me next in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The future stars of the NFL will soon be chosen.
And our newest.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Team.
92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here, reaching out to everyone across Atlanta as the Atlanta Falcons head towards the NFL draft. And certainly the majority of coverage over the next 2, 3, 4 days is going to be devoted directly to that. And we start here with a guy I am incredibly excited to chat with. Jim Nagy of the Reese's Senior Bowl, executive director and NFL draft analyst, joins me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jim, it's always incredibly busy from you for you. Really, the start of football season as you start to compile your rosters all the way through the process of the Senior Bowl and then as it continues into the NFL draft. So we've almost reached the pinnacle there. How are you doing this evening?
We're almost to the finish line. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
So the Senior Bowl this year is kind of like a who's who of who's been attached to the Atlanta Falcons. And we're going to get to a number of these players, guys that could end up there at 8 if they stay at 8, but also guys that could be their second-round picks as well. I do want to start, however, with the guy that seems most attached to the Falcons. He was not at the Senior Bowl, but I'm sure you know more than plenty about Dallas Turner. What do you see from a prospect like the Alabama pass rusher?
Yeah. Obviously seen a lot of Dallas, just being up in Tuscaloosa over the years and watching him. I'll say this. I don't think he's the same level of prospect that Will Anderson was last year. You know, they got one rookie of the year for the Texans this year. But he's a better athlete. When you saw those guys on the same field and on the same tape, Dallas Turner really jumped out. So high-end athlete on tape, and then he goes to the combine and crushes it. And he's pretty good doing all that stuff too. So again, he's more of a speed rusher, really good athlete, more than athletic enough to drop into space. If we're just talking about like former Falcons guys, like much better space athlete dropper than a Vic Beasley would have been, looser athlete. So yeah, I think it's going to be him or Leatu Latu are the two guys in terms of pass rush that would fit there. And I'm sure you're going to bring that name up. But to me, those are the two guys that would be there at 8.
He's number 2 on the list. Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl joining me on the WadeFord.com highlight. Yeah, that was the guy I was going to talk to you about. You had him at the Senior Bowl. We've seen him quietly kind of move up and maybe even become a favorite to go to the Falcons today. We'll see how it plays out on Thursday. But, yeah, how do you feel about Latu, what he can do in the next level? And should Falcons fans have any concern about his career, his history with the neck?
You know, it's funny, you know. I mean, a lot of times we don't know about the people outside the NFL don't know much about these guys' medical histories, right? And this one was out there, right? He was medically disqualified from Washington, and the UCLA docs cleared him and he played. So I feel like some people really leaned into that. Like they felt like they had insider info on this kid, and, you know, so they were banging him a little bit because of the medical. What are they? They're like, we're not doctors. None of us are doctors, you know? So I will say this. I haven't spoken to an NFL team yet that's failed this kid medically. You know, a lot of teams go on an alphabet scale, like an A, B, C, D, E, F. Or ABCDF, and then you know, some teams do like a number scale, like a 1 through 5. So I mean, yeah, I've talked to teams that have him in that C range medically, or like in a 3 range medically. But he's been healthy the last couple of years at UCLA, and I haven't done a more NFL ready pass rusher coming out in a long time. I mean, I would have to rack my brain on who is as good as this guy in terms of just being technical and really slippery and knowing how to rush and having a plan. And, you know, he's natural at it because you can cut off his first move. You know, you can stymie his second move. And he's one of those guys. He stays alive in a pass rush, and he just strings moves together. And it's hard to find guys like that. So, I mean, it's hard to get double-digit sacks as a rookie. I think we saw Aiden Hutchinson almost do that a couple of years ago, got to like 9.5 or something. Maybe he got it. I can't remember. But a year from now, I could easily see Leatu Latu being the only double-digit sack guy in the league of this rookie class.
Oh, man. I think you've talked me into switching who I want at 8. I'm not going to lie. Because it might have actually been the guy we're about to bring up. This is a guy from a smaller school that kind of hit it big, started hitting it big there at the Senior Bowl, and then blew up at the NFL draft as well. But Toledo corner Quinyon Mitchell really just seems to have what it takes to be a corner that could pair well with A.J. Terrell. So what did you see from him at his week in Mobile and beyond?
Yeah, Quinion was probably a guy coming into Mobile, you know, late first, early second round pick, just because people had doubts of the level of competition, right? The MAC has, the Mid-American Conference hasn't produced a first round pick in 7 or 8 years. And so over the course of his career, he's went up against some decent receivers in that league, but not like he faced here. I mean, Ricky Pearsall from Florida and Roman Wilson from Michigan and some really good ones. And he just had a great week. And what you didn't see Quinion do a lot on Toledo tape was get up and press man. He was mostly an off man zone player at Toledo. And then, you know, he got up here and got in people's faces, and that's where you saw the size and the strength and the physicality really show up. And then he goes to the combine, he runs 4.33. So, you know, he's been in the conversation with Terrion Arnold from Alabama as the top corner, and I think Terrion's going to be a really good pro. I like him a lot, but at a position, a speed-based position, where if you talk to anyone in the league, the speed's most important at corner. And he ran 4.33, and Terrion ran 4.51. That's a big difference. That's almost 2/10. That's significant. So I think that's why you're hearing, you know, Quinion's probably going to be the first corner taken. And then the last thing is, he's not just like some fast guy, strong guy. He got his hands on a ton of footballs over the last couple of years at Toledo as well. So he can really find and play the football. You'd be getting a playmaker, you know, like this isn't like some projection. You're not drafting some guy that hasn't made a bunch of plays over his career. I mean, this guy's got real playmaking ability.
Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl, NFL draft analyst. He's seen so many of these guys close up. He's been scouting them for quite a while as he wraps around who he wants to be making up the rosters of the Senior Bowl. That's why he's such a valuable asset to talk to this time of year. Another name, and again, it's just so many guys the Falcons have been tied to. There is no one specific guy to hammer down for 5 minutes. We're kind of bouncing all over the place here, Jim, but a quarterback that you guys had there at the Senior Bowl, and some people say it might even be a top 10 pick, maybe the pick at 8, former Indiana and Washington quarterback Michael Penix. What did you see from him?
Yeah, similar conversation with Latu, in the sense that everyone knows what Michael's track record is with the durability. So he had some injury stuff at Indiana. There's no getting around that. But he's had two really full, healthy seasons at Washington. He's so much fun to watch throw the football in person. I think my first exposure to him was at the Manning camp like 3 or 4 summers ago. And he can really chuck it. I think you're finally starting to hear that come out, that of all these guys is like throwers and especially deep throwers. He's probably the best in this class, and he can win from the pocket. That's really important. I think the piece that got lost in all of it, you know, cause he is such a pocket guy. He's the only quarterback in this class of the top 6 guys that actually tested and did anything really on the testing front. And he ran in the mid 4.5s. The scouts I talked to that were there, he was 4.52 to 4.58, somewhere in that range, which is probably better than what a lot of people thought. So, you know, if you're the Falcons and you've got Kirk Cousins, these guys are all playing. I mean, people are going to knock his age. All these quarterbacks, if they're any good, they're all playing in their mid-30s anyway. So, you know, you have Kirk for a couple of years, you let this guy work under Kirk, and then he's your future. So, you know, Terry Fontenot, that it's his job to look ahead and set the franchise up the best way he can. And if that's a quarterback, you know, I know they've been doing a lot of homework on him. So we'll see. We'll see on Thursday night. It should be interesting.
Jim Nagy continuing to break down the NFL draft with us here on 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon live in the Kia studios. I want to turn our attention to a little bit further down the draft board here, Jim. And I mean, if we're the luckiest of lucky, maybe one of them still available for the Falcons in the second round. But maybe the next tier of pass rusher, Byron Murphy and Darius Robinson.
Yeah, Murphy's a really good player, man. We had him committed to come play in the Senior Bowl, and then my guy Daniel Jeremiah put out a mock first-round draft right before Senior Bowl week, and he had him as, like, the number 11 player. And I texted him. I said, man, you just got Byron Murphy out of the Senior Bowl. And he was like, man, don't say that. And literally an hour later, his agent called and pulled him from the game. So he's a really good player, and this will – ring true for a lot of people there in the Atlanta market. The guy he reminds me of is Grady Jarrett. I was working for, I believe I was with the Seahawks or the Chiefs at the time. To this day, Grady's one of my favorite players I've ever scouted, and especially for a guy that slid to the fourth or fifth round, wherever he slid to. you know, really powerful, great leverage, quick, active, instinctive, just a really good football player. I would not be shocked if he's the first defensive player off the board on Thursday night. It's going to be him or Quinion or Dallas Turner, Laiatu, all the guys we talked about. One of those guys will go. And then the second guy you asked me, you is Darius Robinson, is a guy that, you know, had a dominant Senior Bowl week. He lined up all over the place like he did at Missouri. And he got to the quarterback from every alignment. So you're talking about a really versatile guy up front that can move around. He's long, he's powerful. And I just love how he's wired. He's a super competitive guy. When you're around him, you kind of, the more you're around him, the more you like him. Like he is, if I was Terry Fontenot, I'd want him in my locker room. I'd want him on my football field. He's going to fit every team in the league. So again, I think he's more of a late first round pick. But I don't see a guy with his tools, his versatility, his skill set, getting out of the first round. That would surprise me.
Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl NFL Draft Analyst joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon here. And, Jim, just two more names I want to ask you about. Certainly people here in Atlanta are very familiar with a receiver up in Athens, Ladd McConkey. What do you see him projecting as when he does reach the NFL? This is a guy people are, again, kind of like really hoping that in some way he falls to 43 and the Atlanta Falcons could grab him. I don't see that happening, even in a very receiver-rich class. He just feels like he's ready to go and perform at the next level as well.
Yeah, you're right. I don't see it either, and he is ready to go. He was our second-rated receiver, even going back to last summer. So off the junior tape over the summer, going into the fall, we had Rome Odunze from Washington 1 and Ladd McConkey 2. I think he's an NFL ready-made guy. He's quick. He's fast. He gets open. Can really separate. Good after the catch. I mean, there's really not a lot of holes in his game. He's mature, off the charts. He would be a huge fan favorite in Atlanta, I would think. Be a great fit. Whatever the trade scenarios are, you could end up with him. I don't think you could sit there and wait in the 40s and still get him. He's had too good of a process. He's too good of a prospect. He's too clean. Somebody's going to snatch him up. I could see him going late in the first round.
And then final name for you, Jim, is a guy that a lot of people thought years ago maybe would be the first overall pick in the NFL draft. Not everything goes the way it's planned. But Spencer Rattler is a guy that even a couple weeks ago looked like people were saying, oh, could you get him in the fifth? Could you get him in the fourth? He has started to really climb up mock drafts and up the boards. So what do you know about Spencer Rattler, both from his time there in college and then as he's progressed towards the NFL draft?
Yeah, he's going to be the seventh guy to go. Everyone's talking about the top six guys. Spencer or Michael Pratt from Tulane will be the seventh guy. They're 7 and 8 for everybody, depending on which team you talk to. Those are the two guys that will go next, probably somewhere in the second or third round. I don't think either gets out of day two. I think they end up going somewhere on day two, but I think Spencer, really natural thrower of the football, played a lot, experienced a lot, battled through some adversity leaving Oklahoma, which, teams love that. This guy's shown some mental toughness to bounce back. I mean, I think that's what we're seeing a lot of NFL quarterbacks struggle with right now. Some of these guys that aren't panning out, it's because they're facing adversity for the first time in their life and they don't know how to deal with it. Spencer is proven that he knows how to deal with it. And, a lot's been made that he didn't play with a great supporting cast in Columbia this year, especially up front. Xavier Leggett, he had a great guy to throw to, but he didn't have a lot of protection. I think it ended up helping Spencer, at least in my mind. Like, I questioned how athletic he was and the mobility, and he moved around and got out of harm's way and created more, on the move than he ever has. And I think that's helped him, and then he came down here, had a great week, probably the most consistent week of any of our quarterbacks, which included, Penix and Nix. And then he played great in the game. He was the game MVP. So I don't think any team's going to draft him to start next year. But if we're, 3 or 4 years from now, like we did with the Dak Prescott, went in the fourth round, if we're looking at a guy from this draft class that you could hit on a starter and not necessarily take in the first round, I would put my money on Spencer Rattler.
It is Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. A final question, Jim. You could take it wherever you want to. Who is one guy that played for you there at the Senior Bowl that you think people are vastly underrating, and no matter where he gets picked, whether it's second round or even in the fourth round, fifth round, is a guy that you think is just destined for an 8 to 10 year NFL career?
Well, shoot, that's a long, long list. I mean, since we're on the air in Atlanta now, I'll keep it with a Bulldog. I think both Georgia's safeties, Javon Bullard and Tyke Smith, did a great job here. You know, and I'll talk about Tyke because, I mean, his thing was he played nickel there at Georgia. You didn't see him play from depth a lot, you know, like he's going to project more as a safety and a nickel. And he was able to do that here in Mobile, and he looked really good back there playing from depth and in man coverage, which you didn't see a lot at Georgia. And then he ran fast. I mean, a lot of teams thought he was going to be a low 4.6 guy, and he goes to the combine and runs 4.47, so 4.46. So he's helped himself a ton in the process. Again, I love how that guy is wired. He's all about football. He's all about competing. You know, I think when we were putting the roster together back in November, most teams had Tyke in the fifth or sixth round. And again, I think he probably goes in the third. So if you're a power five level player and you jump, you know, two or three rounds in the draft process, that's massive. That usually happens with like small school players. So, Tyke's had a really good last few months.
Jim, always appreciate your time. We try and have you on at least once a year as we're building towards the NFL draft, ideally more than that. And thank you so much, and can't wait to see how it plays out Thursday, Friday, and over the weekend.
Yeah, it should be fun. Thanks for having me on again.
There you go. Jim Nagy, always valuable. I mean, just an incredibly valuable asset because he gets so many of these guys in for an entire week and really puts them through the ringer. It's not just the combine exercises of how far can you run, how fast can you jump, what's your cone drill. These guys are getting their hands on them in action, running plays against other NFL caliber prospects. So very cool to chat with Jim and get his thoughts on some of that. All right, when we continue, more on the Atlanta Falcons as we head towards the NFL draft. Plus, something Jim said that maybe makes you reconsider what the Falcons should do at 8. We'll tell you what that is and why on the other side. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here. Some really interesting comments about a number of different players from Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl. And if you missed it just a moment ago, we'll get it up on the website as soon as we can. But we're going to replay some of the comments in our next segment because they're just one comment specifically. But Jim Nagy is a guy that's been doing this at a very high level for a number of years. We talked about it. This is a guy that sees so many of these prospects because of his involvement with the Senior Bowl. And not just the guys that come to the Senior Bowl, but also as he scouts who he might want and talks to players and goes through his process. And he said something about Latu a couple of moments ago that I want everyone to hear it a second time. And maybe for those who have questions about Latu, maybe you don't necessarily right now put him ahead of Dallas Turner, and that's certainly up to you. You're allowed to feel however you feel about it. But for the group that's not necessarily sold on Dallas Turner, because I don't want this to be a by default we take Dallas Turner. For the group that's maybe not sold, Jim Nagy said something about Latu that really stood out to me. And so we may play a little bit of that later. If you did miss the interview, we are going to replay it in our final hour. So obviously a lot of discussion between now and then. But you'll get another chance to hear that at 9:20. All right, so we're approaching something that's really interesting to me come Thursday night. And it's something that, quite frankly, Terry Fontenot has not done as GM of the Atlanta Falcons. And by all accounts, it appears like he's prepared to do it this year. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Terry Fontenot's draft philosophy. And the fact that it appears he's changing his draft philosophy. And so why is that? Because in previous drafts, you took Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. You know what those three guys had in common? They were the best player available on the Atlanta Falcons draft board. Almost no one is arguing. Whoever you think the pick is, Penix, Turner, Latu, Verse, Quinyon Mitchell. Almost no one is expecting the Atlanta Falcons to take the best player available this year. There is a possibility that one of the receivers falls, Aroma Dunze, Malik Nabers, and maybe they go that route. And maybe he doesn't change his draft philosophy. But it does appear that he's set to, because none of those guys are going to be the best player available. Most likely the best player available at 8 is probably Brock Bowers. And I don't see the Atlanta Falcons making that call. Now, a couple aspects here. Because I do think it's a fair question to ask about Terry Fontenot and his draft philosophy. How many of the first-round picks the last 3 years were actually his? And how many were by decree, by royal demand of King Arthur Smith? Because I tend to believe that the draft picks of the past couple of years were not made in part by Terry Fontenot. I think they were told to Terry Fontenot. I think down the road, further in the draft, Terry Fontenot was allowed to do his job. But I think the first-round picks in recent years, quite frankly, based on what made sense and how we wanted it to look, I think they were from Arthur Smith, especially Bijan Robinson a year ago. He wanted to find his Derrick Henry. He made a call. And so it does seem that we are prepared right now to watch Terry Fontenot, for the first time since joining the Atlanta Falcons, not draft best player available, but address the team's biggest need. And the question is, why now? And that's the question I want to ask you guys, get some of your thoughts. What does it say to you that Terry Fontenot seems to be prepared to change his draft philosophy? 404-726-0929. Why now? Why biggest need now as opposed to best player? And more specifically, why not biggest need the past couple of seasons? Why did we stick with best player? Some GMs will tell you best player available no matter what. Forget the need. It's about more than 1 year. It's about more than one hole. Just acquire the talent. Is that the world Terry Fontenot lives in? I don't think so. So why change the draft philosophy now? Does being in win now mode versus the previous years of general building for the future make the difference possible? Does Raheem Morris being here make the difference? Maybe Raheem said, hey, I know the last coach said, here's the players I want. You're the GM. You're in charge. Let's fill some holes. And then what if he actually does stick with best player available? If he does stick with best player available, is that a decision you can defend? Or is it something Fontenot would get crushed for? Joe Alt, if he's at 8, is he best player available? Will you take him? Is the fan base going to be okay with that? What if it's Brock Bowers? What if it's a quarterback? I think you get in real trouble this year with best player available. And I do think that adding Kirk Cousins puts you in a win-now mode. And I do think that's the majority of the reason that you're going to try and address some needs in this draft as opposed to just acquire talent. But I also think that that's because Raheem Morris. I also think Raheem's here trying to win. And Arthur Smith had a different idea. Not that Arthur Smith wasn't trying to win. He was trying to win a little bit differently. And unfortunately, that just wasn't getting it done. So why now for Terry Fontenot to change his draft philosophy? 404-726-0929. I got a couple other thoughts on this, but we got a couple phone lines taken up. A couple are still open if you want to get in line behind them. 404-726-0929. Why now? Why fill a need now when every other year he's been best player available? Let's start up top, line one, and go to Brad. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, man, great. Hey, thank you. It's my first time calling in. I'm a native Atlantan, and I'm living up in Michigan now, so I hope let me get this off. Yes, I've been in Atlanta a long time before all of the broadcasters that are current today at this station have come in. The thing I appreciate you did tonight was to say, hey, you realize that people have different styles of what they like in quarterbacks. Prior to you coming on, there is a personality that seems to say that, that the reason that some people don't like Matt Ryan, they go right to, quite frankly, the color thing. Listen, that is so insulting. I appreciated Matt Ryan. And then I also reserve the right to criticize some things that, that he couldn't do. The same thing that Mike Vick got when he got here, he was winning differently, and people wanted him to be in the pocket. He was not that. I appreciate what Matt Ryan did, and I can be a black man that appreciates Matt Ryan but can call him out. The game had passed him by. The league had gone to a cool thing, and he just, in the end, and here's the other thing. He's Hall of Good. I don't know if he's Hall of Fame, but I do know this. He is the best quarterback. I go back to Steve Barkowski. So I just want to say this, that we always talk about winning it all. Under his watch, he did not win his first playoff game until his ninth year. But he was good. He was tough. He was certainly the type of poster child that you want to have for the franchise. He represented us well. But the game has passed him by. And we need a different type of person, a different type of quarterback. It has nothing to do with color. It has everything to do with what the game needs to be and where we are now as a franchise.
All right, thanks for the call, Brad. I mean, look, the moral of the story for me in regards to Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins, Mike Vick, I don't care who the quarterback is. I just want to root for a winner. I don't really care. I just want to have fun watching my team on Sundays. In the past 3 years, quite frankly, have been absolutely dreadful. And we're hoping for a change from that starting this year, and that's why we're focused on the NFL draft. It's kind of I wouldn't say the final stage of the offseason in terms of being able to build this team into what we all think they can be, which is a playoff, not just a playoff contender, but a possible contender in the NFC. And that, I think, gets back to the moral of the story of why Terry Fontenot is changing his draft philosophy, or at least why we expect him to change his draft philosophy. Because this is a team that feels close, and there are holes that need to be addressed. And drafting a player who cannot add to this team over the next 2 years raises some eyebrows. I know we got Yo on the phone. He's going to call in and tell me that Michael Penix should be the pick. I got a problem with that, if we're being honest, because this is not a guy who can help the team right now. And I would say the exact same, by the way, about Joe Alt. Like, unless you're trading Caleb McGarry, this is not a guy that's helping the team right now. And knowing what we know about the defense, or lack thereof, I need some help. And I think we're going to grab that, whether it's with the eighth overall pick or a little bit further in the first round. We'll get one more call in this segment. We'll continue to take the calls on the Atlanta Falcons and Terry Fontenot's draft philosophy, 404-726-0929. Why do you think he's changing it now? Let's go ahead and bring in Yo. What's going on, Yo?
What's happening, Abe?
How you doing,
wonderful
brother?
Evening on a Monday.
It is. What's going on, man?
Okay, so, like, look, I'm a little bit older than you, so let's go ahead and get that out there and be public, all right? I'm 50, right? So I've watched the NFL for a long time. I've watched teams come up and go down for a long time. I watched the Kansas City Chiefs have Alex Smith, who they paid a lot of money to be their quarterback, but then go and trade a bunch of picks to get up to number 7 to get Patrick Mahomes. The reason that they did it was because they realized that the guy who could throw the ball and sling it was the one that they wanted. Now, I am 100%, don't let anybody fool you. I know that everybody knows that I wanted – you know, the kid from Kennesaw, but we didn't get him. We took the best available quarterback in the NFL, and that was Kirk Cousins. So I'm all Kirk O'Chains right now. I got 2 years of that, right? Maybe a possible third. But I have to start thinking about the future. One of the reasons that I believe the Falcons have failed themselves is because they always want to win now. I want to win now. And when they did that, hey, Matt, I love you. You are the greatest Falcon ever. One of the issues is after 28-3, and that's losing that Super Bowl, We went all in on the current team that we had. We never planned for the future. There has to be something where you say the most available quarterback who is sitting there in the draft who can learn under a 35-year-old, which is what Kirk Cousins is, you have to take him and let him be groomed, just like Kirk was groomed up under RG3. Kirk didn't just become this yesterday. Kirk had to sit there for 3 years under one of the greatest coaching staffs in NFL histories that used to be called the Redskins, now they're Commanders. But he sat there and learned how to be an NFL quarterback. If you don't teach somebody how to be the professional that you want them to be, then guess what? They're going to always lose. And everybody who took these last couple years of quarterbacks and just threw them into the mix, all of them ended up trading those quarterbacks off because they didn't have time to learn what it is to be a professional. Now, Abe, I love you, and I love the show. We don't have to disagree, and we're not even going to be disagreeable. But I'm telling you, at number 8, Michael Penix Jr., the guy who is the most accurate quarterback that we've seen in, like, well, since Joe Burrow, take him. Stop playing games.
All right, yeah, I appreciate the call, yo. We're up against a break. I cannot comply with that mindset.
Cousins was a fourth-round pick. I don't think he realizes that.
That's not the point. The point is you've put yourselves in a position where you need to address holes. I understand the desire to build for the future. If you want to build for the future with the quarterback, I don't need to panic and go take Michael Penix. I can do that with a mid-round quarterback, some guy in the fourth round or fifth round. He's going to be sitting and developing for 2 years anyways, right? Isn't that the whole point? That he'd sit at least 2 years, maybe three. There's too much value being at the top of the draft to not take a player that's gonna play over these next 2 years.
You can't play two quarterbacks at one time. You can try to. It's not gonna be very effective.
I've seen it done. It doesn't always work. Yeah, that's all right. I respect his thought process, and I don't necessarily disagree with the idea of wanting to draft a quarterback to learn under Kirk Cousins, but I can't do it in the top 10. Not this year. You're talking about this guy being the fifth quarterback taken. Like we talk about all the draft picks they got traded for third round picks. Like, this guy's the fifth quarterback, so why would he not be one of them? He's got two torn knees. There's also that. So anyways, we'll continue with the phone calls. Why now is Terry Fondo changing his draft philosophy? It's been best player available. There's no denying it's been best player available. Right now, it's trending towards team need. Why is that? More on the other side. It's the 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.